from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And a fly ball left field. Back is Reynolds toward the track, approaching the wall, and it's gone. An opposite field 3-run homer for Jock Peterson to give the Diamondbacks the lead, 5-4 in the seventh inning. Pop up, shallow right. Coming in is Carroll, and he will make the catch, and the D-backs take the series. Final score, Arizona 6, Pittsburgh 5.
Did you hear that sigh?
Yeah. At least it wasn't an oh no, oh no, like when Neil Walker when they...
Yeah, I pretty much summed it up.
Well, anyway, we do have Derek Shelton from yesterday, and Derek Shelton was very angry about a lot of things. There was so much, I think, that it's only a 3-minute clip. We should listen to what he had to say because there's so many things to react to in what he said.
Jelty, why stick with Hody over Beeks in the seventh?
Yeah, I mean, Beeks had thrown 2 days in a row. I mean, we ended up having to go to him. I mean, he had a 100-mile-an-hour fastball away. Hody's got to be better. I mean, he's got to make a pitch. He's pitched in that spot for us all year, and it didn't work.
Is he not confident with the fastball right now?
He hit a fastball. Fastball's 100. I mean, if you go back and look at the first couple pitches of that inning, look at the locations of them.
So, Beeks was too tired to come
in? No, that's not what I said. What I said was, made the decision, we got to finish the pitch. Beeks pitched the next inning.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Skeens' command seemed maybe not his best today. What did you assess?
Yeah, he was erratic. He was kind of all over the place. I mean, it's for the first time we've really seen him scatter the ball a little bit.
What was the thought process with the sacrifice bunt there with kind of Flaifa in the ninth?
Play for the tie and then get Bednar in the game and see where we could go there. You know, I mean, he's a tough at bat, so I think that was, and he's usually, you know, he's done a pretty good job bunting throughout his career. And it was a tough pitch.
What'd you make of the Reynolds and Cruz at bats there in the ninth?
I mean, Reynolds really good at bat. I mean, Cruz, he fouled off, what, 6 pitches, 6 fastballs at 97 and 98, and, you know, he beat him with the fastball away, but, you know, overall they battled.
Shelty, Holderman striking out Marte. Did that change your mind at all?
No.
Just a second for Isaiah. What could you make of his early start and how well he did with those 2 RBI through 2?
Yeah, I mean, he and Dela Cruz both. I mean, Dela Cruz had a big RBI early, you know, good at bats. I mean, they're going to be a big part of what we're doing over the next 2 months.
We were talking about Holderman before. I think at the end of June, he's like a 1.27 ERA. Like, in a little spotty, started July, found it, and seemed to wobble here lately. Was there any consistency between the two tough patches he's had?
Yeah, middle of the plate or on the plate, you know, not finishing. I think that's the story of the 2 games we lost in this series. We did not execute pitches with 2 strikes, and we have to. If you leave the ball on the plate, I mean, this is one of the best offenses in baseball. You leave the ball on the plate with 2 strikes, they're going to do damage, and we saw that.
consider moving him to lower leverage?
No, I don't know. We're going to have to figure out. I mean, I'm a little pissed about how this game went to begin with, so try to figure that out during the off day.
Any thought on stealing Reynolds in the ninth in that situation when he was on first?
Yeah, good thought. Cruz lines into a double play, then everybody's like, hey, why'd you go, you know, why are you going into a double play? We're gonna get De La Cruz versus Puck in that situation, and we know that. So it's one of those 50-50 things. But, yeah, I did debate it a little bit.
There's always a debate, especially with analytics, about bunts in general, giving away and out. That was a guy that hadn't closed a whole lot. Any thought about just letting the guy go?
Yeah, we thought about it and didn't do it.
What else are you ticked about, Derek, besides the outcome?
The outcome of the game.
Is there something unrelated you're talking about there?
I'm not answering that question. You guys watched the game. You watched Holderman's inning. And then we give away a situation where we throw a pitch and then have a violation after that? I don't understand that. I don't understand how that. I understand how the rule works. I have never seen that before. We throw a pitch and then there's a violation after a pitch is thrown that's taken away? Don't understand that. That's not in the rule book. Sorry, it's not. If he's on the field and it happens, he's not on the field, their manager. So if the pitch is delivered, how does that happen? I don't know.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Well,
that was as feisty as Derek Shelton has been. He is normally a very gregarious. You know, he's an affable person. He'll talk to you. You guys have him on every Tuesday, and you will again tomorrow.
Right.
So.
And I think the biggest thing about it is he was feisty throughout the whole thing.
Well, that's one. I mean, there are a lot of them like that over the course of 162. But given that one, as we said, 4-0, you're up. Skeens is on the mound. It's a huge game. It's at home. And you let it get away. But he really came down hard on Colin Holderman. And quite frankly, you can see why. I mean, over his last 15 innings, Jason Mackey put this line up. 12 earned runs, or 14 innings. 12 earned runs, 9 walks. He's been all over the place, which is why I didn't understand that answer about why he wouldn't go to Beeks. But he did go to Beeks. But it was after the damage was done. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you feel that way about him and he's given you nothing but worries over his last 15 appearances, then you should have made a move right then and there. And that's the way it goes. I don't know why the logic is to keep him in for the whole inning. That's the game's on the line.
Well, I thought, you know, he probably had a valid complaint about the taking the strike off the board play or whatever happened where, you know, the manager came out. But here's what I'm going to tell you about this whole umpiring thing. I would say over the last 10 to 15 games, The calling of balls and strikes has been an embarrassment.
I think it's been an embarrassment all year.
But I mean,
it's gotten worse
but
now
really,
because the
guess,
games have become more significant.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. We're watching these games a lot closer than we have been. But it is absolutely incredible. And here's the thing. I think it was the inning right after that whole thing happened. There was a pitch to O'Neill Cruz that was so far in the strike zone. Like, there's no chance that it was a 50-50 pitch. It was a strike. And he called it a ball. And why that's significant, because it made it 3-0 instead of 2-1 against a guy like O'Neill Cruz. And then, I think the very same at bat, he struck out on a pitch that was, or his second strike maybe, was a pitch that was like 6 inches off the plate.
Yes.
And it's like,
if you're a batter, you have no idea. And that's the problem. Because you'd want to try to work a strike zone. You want to try to, you know, work the count in your favor. But when you get calls, and again, it goes both ways, Paul. I'm not going to sit here and say the Pirates were the only ones who were victimized. Ketel Marte struck out on one that I thought was a ball. It goes both ways. The pitch box really makes it worse for those of us watching, only because you see exactly, frame by frame, basically, where these pitches are. Umpires don't have that luxury. So I think it's made it more difficult on umpires from that point of view. If you erase the pitch box, you wouldn't probably be as critical. You still could be critical, but not as. But it went both ways yesterday. But it's hard as a batter to know what's coming. And when you're up in a count 3-1, you're looking for a pitch, and you don't swing at it because you think it's ball four, and it turns out that it is ball four, and it's called a strike. Now you're at the pitcher's, you know.
Right.
Things change.
I think if you are a batter today, how do you know what the strike zone is?
You're guessing, depending on the umpire.
You don't know what the strike zone is. That's the biggest problem that you have when you have umpires that are all over the place. What is actually the strike zone?
Yeah, I don't know. I am.
If you're a batter, and you can see the frustration on some of these hitters, you know, pitches that are low and outside or low or whatever are being called strikes, and then you can see some of the frustration of the pitchers when they're painting the corners and they're called balls. That's a problem. So I think that while Shelton has a legitimate beef about the way that whole thing went down, I think every manager should sit out the discussion about balls and strikes and the way they're called.
Because, well, normally he does. He doesn't necessarily rip it one way or the other or say, but, you know, in this case, he did.
Who do we got on the line, City Limits?
Joe in the car.
Joe in the car, how you doing?
Hey, boys, how are you?
Look, I'm good. How are you?
disgusted. That's what, Paul, you made a great point. Nobody knows in this league what a strike is or what a ball is because they're not consistent enough. Bob, you made a great point, and I'm going to take this. Throw the analytics out the door. It almost goes back to Little League. It goes back to Little League. If I'm trying to win a playoff game or a tournament game, you really think I'm going to go with the kid who can't really throw strikes, or I'm going to go with the kid who can throw the hardest ball across the plate and strike everybody out and get them out? This is not – you don't go with a guy who's struggling. You go with the guy.
But you also – if he's up, he's going to be used, and he was used. That's the frustrating part.
Correct, and he's better against the batter –
He was Jock Peterson.
Horrible. Peterson was horrible against lefties, and you don't bring a lefty. You don't bring a lefty in. I don't understand. It was so frustrating. And then to hear him on his news conference, you got to take it. Look, you get credited for when you make great calls. You got to take that one on the chin. Shelton, I needed to take that one on the chin. That was all him. You second guessed yourself from the seventh inning on. You second guessed yourself.
Right. There's no question. There's no question about it. In my mind, there's none. It really is one of those things where you have to you really have to try and figure out, if you're Shelton, are you going to be beholden to your little chart and how many innings you want to pitch guys? And I guarantee you that's what it came down to. Well, if we can get Colin Holderman
well, he
here.
He didn't say that, though. I don't know.
No, but I'm just saying, if you look at how he manages, you know what I mean?
Well, generally, they all do. This is the frustrating thing about
how it's
going. It's like the new managerial book 2.0. This is how we do it today, boys. If you get 9 pitches, you can't pitch the next day. You got to be down. If you have 20 pitches, forget it. We ain't seeing you for a week. Come on. In games like this, when you've dug yourself a hole, guys are available. I'm not worried about their pitch count. I'm not worried about how many days in a row I use them. Generally speaking, yes, I would be. But in these situations, you've got to throw that book out.
All right, City Limits, who's next?
We got one more. Here's Montavious in Wexford.
Hey, Paul and Bob.
How What's up, Montavious?
Montavious, yes. So that game yesterday, and to go back and blaming the umpires, you can't. It's easy for us on TV to see the balls and strikes, but when it's 100 miles per hour, give these umpires credit. Don't blame them. You got to protect the plate. It goes back to Little League, Pony League, Colt League, and Shelton has the blame for this loss. You can't play Holderman when you got Beeks out there.
Or Chapman.
And, that's my or Chapman, any of them. But Shelton, please take the blame. Please. Be a man. That's all I got.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, I think that, you know, I don't know. He kind of threw Holderman under the bus a little bit, said he's got to be better. And he did, you know, he was upset about the umpiring or the, you know, a few of the strikes. But I didn't feel like he was overly pushing the blame on other people. I mean, I do think he was very defensive about all of his moves that he made. He was very defensive about them. There's no question about that. But, you know, managers, here's the thing about managers. Sometimes you got 162 games. You get second-guessed 162 times. You've got to defend everything you do.
Well.
It's unlike football where you got 17 games to be second-guessed.
Yeah. I think there's an equally responsible part of this that goes to the player's execution, like he said. But you also know the player hasn't been executing. You bring him in that situation. Now, this was the seventh inning, and originally it was down at the latter part of the order. He wanted to get through that to get to the eighth. I get it. But in doing so, you can't forget you're still trying to protect the two-run lead, and you got two guys on and a very dangerous hitter up, and you can't go by what you think you're going to go. That you need an immediate adjustment and just say, Holderman doesn't have it today. I'm taking him out. We'll worry about the eighth when we get to the eighth. If you worry about the eighth after you give up the seventh, then you have to worry about the bottom of the ninth. You know, that situation called for him to be out. He was not impressive to me. I don't care he threw 100 miles an hour.
Right.
His location of pitches the last several games for him has not been good.
And he's
generally a very good pitcher, but he's just gone, you know, a rough spell.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at what he's done recently, it hasn't been very pretty. I mean, his last four outings, he's given up at least one run. You know, before that, he was pretty much a lockdown. Mm-hmm. And his last four outings, he's also given up four home runs. Seven runs, four home runs. You know, he's got to be better than that. And actually, if you look at it, it's seven runs. It's seven earned runs, eight runs total. And, you know, four home runs. That's not good. Also, right. You know, one strikeout in four appearances. That's not good. So he was really good for a period of time, but they've got to figure out whatever that magic was. You know what I mean? That made it work. They've got to figure that out.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.